following presentation is a special from BYU TV Sports.
Welcome to a BYU TV Sports Special, BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline. My name's Alema Harrington. Today we'll talk with former players as well as Coach Lavelle Edwards and Bronco Mendenhall about BYU's recruiting of the islands, its past, its present, and its future. BYU's football program has tapped into the Pacific Islands to find players since 1951, when Harry Bray of Hilo, Hawaii, transferred from Weber College to play for the Cougars. Since then, over 100 Polynesians have donned the Cougar Blue, including several currently in the NFL. It's a rich tradition of excellence from a passionate people.
Rasa Poe, Iona Pritchard, and Bronson Kalfusi. These players and others make up the current chapter of a rich Polynesian tradition at BYU that spans for more than half a century. After Harry Bray blazed the trail, athletes like Famika Anai, John Capelli, and John Lupoi followed in his footsteps, becoming BYU Cougars in the 1950s and 60s. Since the Polynesian Pipeline first opened more than 60 years ago, hundreds of athletes from the Pacific Islands have suited up for the Cougars. In 1985, Vi Sikahema set the NCAA record for punt returns with more than 150 attempts and 1,300 yards. He was part of the 1984 National Championship team and returned a punt for a touchdown during the Miracle Bowl in 1980. Sikahema was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals and in 1986 became the first Tongan ever to play in the National Football League. The 1990s saw a passing attack at BYU that was unlike any other in the country. Many remember the two tight end tandem of Chad Lewis and Hawaiian native Itula Mili. Mili became an All-American his senior year and racked up almost 1,800 receiving yards during his time at BYU. On a team renowned for its offensive prowess, Aaron Francisco made a name for himself on the defensive end. Francisco recorded 330 tackles and 7 interceptions as a BYU safety and was named First Team All-Mountain West Conference as a junior in 2003. He was picked up by the Arizona Cardinals in 2005 and played 8 seasons in the NFL. Harvey Unga broke BYU's all-time rushing record as a junior. He, along with fellow Tongan Manase Tonga, ran over countless would-be tacklers in 2009, helping lead the Cougars to an 11-2 record that included a season-opening upset against Oklahoma, a home thriller against Utah, and a decisive bowl win against Oregon State. When head coach Lavelle Edwards took over in 1972, he made it a priority to recruit athletes from the Pacific Islands, and it has paid off. The Cougars have become one of the top 5 teams in wins dating back to that season. Since Bray, the Polynesian Pipeline has remained open through the years, from Coach Edwards and now to Bronco Mendenhall. Players and coaches from Hawaii, Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, and even New Zealand continue to wear the Cougar Blue.
The future is bright for BYU football as it continues to harness the talent from the islands. Coming up, legendary head coach Lavelle Edwards and former players Vi Sikahema, Robert Anai, Steve Kalfusi, and Mark Atuwaia join me on set. You're watching BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline on BYU TV.
Alema, he's got to tell you this. He's got to tell you the story.
I think that may have been because I wasn't married.
Welcome back to BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline. Let's welcome in BYU Hall of Fame football coach Lavelle Edwards and some of his former players. That is Mark Atuwaia over there, Steve Kalfusi, also Robert Anai, joining us from Philadelphia via satellite from his television station in Philly, Vi Sikahema. And guys, thanks for being with us. Coach, thanks for being with us. Appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
You know, we're talking about the Polynesian Pipeline, the recruiting pipeline coming out of Hawaii and the Pacific Rim. For you, was it a conscious decision to start recruiting the Pacific Islands?
Yes. When I was an assistant, we had a guy named Chris Apostle. I don't know if you remember Chris. Mm-hmm. He was on our staff, and he made the first trip, to my knowledge, to Hawaii and started recruiting there. And he did that for a couple of years, and then the head coach left. And then when I became the head coach in 72, we just picked it up and then went on and expanded it over the years as we started to have more players come in. And they all played very well for us and did a very good job. And so it was a great find for us. And I honestly think that it was that connection of getting these guys in here that got us going and sustained us in the great run that we had there, you know, during the 70s and 80s. And so it was it's been a great for BYU football.
Robert, you have an interesting role in this because your father, Famika Anai, was one of the first to come here to BYU. Then you have been at BYU, and then your son comes to BYU. That's three generations of Anais that come through BYU. What was that experience like, and what has it been like for your family?
Well, my dad was, I don't know if the first, but one of the early ones to come to BYU on a football scholarship. And, you know, he went home after he was done playing, took the little family and went home to Laie and was the head football coach at Kahuku High School, and that was his profession.
You know, on legendary status when we're talking about the name Famika Anai, your father, and I want to bring Mark Atawaya in on this because Marky was a celebrated running back out of Kahuku High School, so the same area. And Mark, how much influence did the Anai family have on your thoughts, ideas about coming to BYU?
There's no doubt that those that were here previously made a huge impression on us that were growing up in Laie. Before there was BYU TV, there used to be this blue and white sports network. And it wasn't uncommon for us to go and do our chores and then watch these guys play. And if there wasn't a game on there, we could catch it on satellite at the local church. So there was a central theme going on. And Coach Edwards, he's a smart guy in the sense that, you recruit the oldest and it'll just trickle down. My brothers also played here your brothers played here and all your brothers played here. So I think there was a nice strategy there to get us to come to BYU, and Coach Edwards was not foreign to that.
I think we had at times out of the 22 players starting for us, six or seven or eight of them were Polynesian kids. And so it had a huge impact on our program.
Along with the Samoans that have come out of the BYU program, Mark Atawaya from a Samoan heritage, along with Robert Anai, one of the first big Tongan players to play for BYU was a rather small Tongan player in Vaisa Kahema, who joins us.
I remember sitting down with Coach Edwards, and he asked me why I was the first Tongan that he recruited, and he hadn't recruited any Tongans to BYU. And I was 17 years old, and I said to him, Coach, because Samoans have been, there's American Samoa is a protectorate of the U.S. government, and they've been coming to the U.S. since World War II. Tongans haven't been coming. We're one among the first families to come here. And then I remember Coach Edwards asked me, will there be more Tongans playing American football? And as a 17-year-old, I sat across his desk and I said, Coach, as sure as I sit here, I promise you that there will be more Tongans that will start playing American football.
You know, the inspiration of Vaisa Kahema and what he was able to do, kind of breaking that barrier and opening it up in a lot of ways for the Tongan player. Steve Kafusi, I would have to imagine part of that journey was inspired by the guys that came before you, whether it's Tui Polotu or Hemuli or Sekahema.
Yeah, I remember, growing up in Salt Lake, I didn't play football until I was 10th grade. And a lot of that was, they needed guys to play, and so they called the rugby guys across the other field to come and try out for the team, and, had to learn how to put our pads on and so forth. It wasn't until 1980, there was an All-Star game. I believe it was usually the Utah All-Stars versus the Arizona All-Stars. And so the talk was in the community, hey, there's this Tongan guy that's playing from Arizona. We need to go check him out. And some of those kids said, hey, that's my cousin, Vi Sikahema. Mm-hmm. And so we would, we got there to watch the game. But before that, Vi was in the neighborhood, I heard one night. So we went down and to his cousin, Isi Tafsinga's house, and there was Vi. And so everybody wanted to meet this guy. So right there, you know, he had a huge impact on me as far as wanting to have a desire to go continue to play football. And I thought, okay, that Tongan guy can do it. Why can't I do it? And so that was a motivation for me.
Thing that I remember.
Alema, he's got to tell you this. He's got to tell you the story. I went on a jog. I went on a jog from like 4 South in Salt Lake to the airport. And I had like 10 Tongan kids that followed me with me. They all started dropping off one at a time. And all of a sudden, I see Steve Kafusi is the only one that hung with me all the way to the airport. Then we turned around and came back. I couldn't believe he'd run that far. Now he gets to wear free Nike shoes from BYU, and he's coaching at BYU. He's got all his brothers that have played at BYU, some at Utah. But it's been amazing.
What an amazing journey it has been. And, Coach, I think what you've been able to tap into is an understanding of the Polynesian, the cultural importance of family.
I think the Tongans, weren't they a little, well, like, was didn't Vi say that they were slower coming to Hawaii before they, then a lot of them came right to America.
Coach, the La'ia part, a lot of them came because of the church, the temple, and its building, and that's where Coach and I and his roots come from, and then also with the Polynesian Cultural Center in BYU Hawaii, and labor missionaries came over, and that's, you know, where a lot of the families that are living now in La'ia and elsewhere in America have come.
Well, you know, there for a while, the Samoans were mostly all of Polynesian, and then toward the end there, the Mai stayed there. There were more Tongans in the last few years than there were Samoans that played for us.
Alema, let me just jump in here, because Mark Atuaya just mentioned something that we would be absolutely remiss if we didn't mention how integral the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was to the Polynesian pipeline to BYU. Of course, we understand that. But here's the thing. When we started tapping into the Latter-day Saint pipeline, it was really the LDS Church who started the pipeline coming, bringing guys to BYU because, you know, they're players. These are sons and daughters of building missionaries who came and helped build the temple, as the Anais, his grandparents, came and helped build the temple in the 1920s, in the 19s. And then later, many came in to help build Church College of Hawaii and the Polynesian Cultural Center. And it's their sons and daughters who are the Atuayas and the Anais, the Sikahemas. All of us have some connection to the North Shore because of that.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Vi, because the connection with the Mendenhall name associated with that. We'll ask Coach Mendenhall when he joins us coming up about that connection. And speaking of connections, I wanted to talk with you, Robert, about this. Coach Edwards had instituted almost a mentorship program. And I remember coming to BYU, Robert, and you were here already established, 1984 national championship, and you were there to take care of, mentor the kids that were coming from Polynesia or from Hawaii or the other Polynesian kids that were coming in.
Well, I think that may have been because I wasn't married. I was an upperclassman and played football and going to school. During double days and whatnot, the younger guys, Thor and Latakeo, Kurt Govea, they didn't like staying in the dorm. And so, man, we'd come home after double days and we'd just scatter on the front room. And you know how it is, Polynesian style, you just sleep on the floor. So that just became a thing. As soon as they were done with their year in the dorm, they'd all come and stay with me.
Yeah, but you know that was the problem, because once they moved off campus, there'd be two guys paying rent and about 30 that were staying there that weren't paying rent.
Yeah, that's your way they made money on campus.
Usually the two that were paying rent were the white guys, were the two Palangi guys. Everybody else was there, you know, freeloading.
Hey, at least we made it fun, though.
That's right. And you know, Vi, you know, speaking on that topic, because, you know, we help each other out. It is part of our culture. That is what we do. We help one another out. And not just within our culture, but outside of our culture as well. But that is a part of the Aloha spirit, if you will, is a part of everything, you know, what we've all grown up with. And maybe if you could speak to that, Steve, as you got into the coaching business, there were some guys that you could look to, and then you became a guy to look to.
Yeah, so I came back to finish school here at BYU, and I wanted to go to graduate school. And, you know, I found out that you can actually be a graduate assistant, and, you know, they would still pay for your school, so that was my way of going about it. So I applied up at University of Utah, and so that's how I got into coaching, was up there with Ron McBride. You know, they gave me that opportunity to go up and start being a graduate assistant. And this was 1994. And at the time, you know, the Whittinghams were up there. And, you know, of course, I think I got my opportunity because, you know, I got to know the Whittingham family here. Obviously, we played with, you know, some of the younger ones there, but Kyle was there at the time. And so really my opportunity came from Coach McBride and Fred Whittingham, who was coaching there at the time. So I appreciate, you know, them giving me the opportunity to start my coaching career.
Robert, you were about to say something.
Well, the coaches on the staff, Coach Edwards had created I don't know what it was, but the coaches on the staff were interested in our well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Fred Whittingham would bring us Polynesian guys up to his home. And I remember they had a war dinner once, and we didn't have a choice. He told us to come and do our little dance, the one you hit all the mosquitoes with. So we didn't want to dance after practice. But we went up, took our lava lavas, and you know, the assistants on the staff were very helpful to us making it. Because when I started in 1980, there wasn't a big support group for Polynesian kids. And we leaned on our coaches for that support. And we felt the welcome, and we felt the environment that we could grow and develop in.
Lemma, I didn't know that there was such a thing as scholarship. So when I was down at Dixie, you know, all of a sudden I started getting letters, and we were talking about Greg Crochet was talking to me about, you can get scholarship, pay for your whole school, and so that was my motivation. So I got on the phone, and I'm calling Mom up. Mom, we need to get those little buggers, you know, to go play football. You know, we got Rich, and, you know, I had two uncles, Masa and Pasa, and then, you know, the younger brothers, you know, Henry and Jeff and Doug and Jason came along. And so, you know, going home, it was motivating that, hey, you need to go play ball. This is your way out. You know, they'll pay for your school. And that way you can go to college and you get to play this fun little game here.
You know, as a coach brings in a player, then takes care of that kid, then you give the endorsement as the one that has come through to the next generation. Now all three of you are in the coaching situation where you are doing the recruiting on an official basis. And how, Mark, how important has it been to be able to walk in there and give your endorsement for what you came through and what you represent today?
Well, these guys can speak to it much better than I can, in the sense that they've been in this profession for, you know, for quite a while now. You live a certain way, and certain results are garnered. And having this opportunity and being able to now have a chance to affect lives of young men that have come up the same way that I have, I think it's absolutely imperative that you do have that reputation to go along with it. And I hope, in the sense that I've lived my life in that certain way, that will help, you know, to have a young man say, you know what, someday I'd like to be like that.
Gentlemen, we appreciate your time. We got to take a break. We'll come back. Vi Sekahema from Philadelphia, thank you, brother, for your time. We appreciate it very much. When we come back, Lavelle Edwards, the legendary coach, will stay with us. We'll be welcoming in Rich Kofusi, Gabe Reed. This is BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline on BYU TV.
Well, while I wipe my tears real quick,
Lavelle is actually the 13th apostle.
Welcome back to BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline. Alumni Harrington alongside Mark Atuwai, who remains with us, joined now by Gabe Reed, as well as Rich Kofusi, and of course the legendary Lavelle Edwards still with us. You know, Mark, you are the first to come, and then your brothers came.
Yeah.
And then Spencer Reed came, and then your older brother, and then you came. And then Steve Kofusi was your elder brother that kind of led the way. Let me find out from you two, as guys that followed a brother to BYU, and starting with, because you came from Samoa, if I'm not mistaken, Gabe, what was that experience like to come and follow in the footsteps?
You know what? I think just to kind of backtrack a little bit on the earlier segment, Coach Edwards did such a great job in building that pipeline in American Samoa. And so my career came in towards the end of Coach Edwards' career. And as a young kid growing up in Samoa, if you were LDS and you were somewhat of a decent football player, you were expected to go to BYU because of the pipeline that Coach Edwards built there. And so for me, my parents, I really didn't have a choice. My parents told me it's either BYU or stay home. And so that I followed in my brother's footsteps, who was already here and was on scholarship here. And so that's why I came.
Coach, the recruiting from Samoa, that was something that wasn't necessarily commonplace, but I think in some ways you were able to recruit out of Samoa without even having to go to Samoa because
we
the
did
reputation.
For a long time, yes, and we would, I guess we would get names from others that had been over here playing and would find out. And then we started corresponding with a high school over there, and there were more than one. Did the different islands play football? They just had the one island that played, didn't they?
Yes.
And then I went over there, stayed there, and went over. Was it Leone High School or
mm-hmm. that?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the kid's
name. Maupili.
Yeah. But anyway, we just helped to cement relationships that we had over there with the people, because they were coaches and other people over there that we had talked to on telephone or correspond with, and so we'd get back over there and meet a couple of them. It was a nice experience.
You know, I think that one of the things that's interesting in recruiting the Polynesian player, there are certain traditions, there are certain cultural norms that need to be understood and respected, and Coach Edwards was able to do that. And Coach, I don't know if that is something that was innate that you understood.
Well, the thing, I came from a large family. I was one of 14 children, and so I related to the families that had great family pride, and they knew each other, and I'm not knew each other, but they looked out for each other and helped each other as we went along, and I just made up my mind that I didn't have to do anything differently than what I do with anyone else. It's just that the reaction that I had and the feedback and the feelings that I developed with your parents and with people that over the years, it really helped.
To add on to what Gabe said, you know, the church plays a big part in that.
Yeah.
Lavelle is actually the 13th apostle. So when he comes into a home, you know, the parents are listening already, knowing that it's a church school, knowing that their kids will be safe, they'll be there taken care of by great coaches, and especially Lavelle. That's how they viewed Lavelle and his words mm-hmm. and what he says. Is, you know, it's almost like doctrine. And when you think of a BYU coach, that's, you know, in the Mormon communities, it's almost, it carries that connotation almost. And so Polynesian parents listen up a lot, especially when it's coming out of BYU. They know that they want their kids to go there.
That's the you know, that's true in the sense that the decision maker and again, Coach Edwards understanding that nuance and coming into a home. And I think again, just in addition to what everybody's saying, what Coach Edwards did was reinforce what has already been taught and emphasized in our homes. One in particular is keeping the Sabbath day holy. Now, again, I learned all my bad habits when I left home, but when I was at home now, that was very, very strict. But especially in my home, my father was that way. And knowing BYU and knowing its standards in the sense that we don't do anything on Sunday except going for treatment. I remember you used to come in all the time to check if we got treatment that Sunday. But other than that, you know, everything's shut down. You're going to church and you're doing those things. And that was big to my father.
Before we close the segment, I would ask each one of you to give me something that you have taken from your BYU experience. Rich, for you.
There's some funny things that stand out in my mind. You know, I think there are a few things. First of all, I got called into Lavelle's office, and he's asking me some questions. Hey, I hear there's some partying going on at your place. What's going on and everything else? And I said, Lavelle, do you know that there are some Utah Valley State College students living with us? And he goes, no, but you're doing everything you need to do. Yeah, we're fine. So we're blaming it on other people that live with us. But the accountability, I think, is one thing that Lavelle sticks out in my mind.
Gabe, for you.
You know what? I think for me, and this is may sound a little weird because you often don't associate the word I'm going to use with football, but I've learned to really love my teammates and really to love my coaches because it started with the love that I felt from Lavelle. And I think that's what made him very successful. You can tell the influence of a coach on his players. When I've only played for Lavelle 2 years, the first year, I don't even think I was a walk-on. But he saw something in me. And every single one of us loved Coach Edwards, and we would, till this day, you ask any one of us who had played for Coach, we would stand in front of a bus for him. And that's the way that Polynesians are wired, and he understood that. He knew how to tap into that. And so that's one thing I've really learned from this man is just the love. And so that's, thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Gabe.
Well, while I wipe my tears real quick, I'm, you know, thinking about a lot of us that came through to BYU. I think of a whole bunch of names. Just all of the relationships that have been cultivated here at BYU under this structure that Coach Edwards provided for us. A lot of us, you know, would have never had that opportunity. And there's a lot of things that we were able to learn and to grow from and that we still employ in our lives, especially at this juncture. You know, now that I'm here as a coach and in this capacity that I'm in now, being able to affect the lives of young men that come here to Provo, and much from the same status that I did and that I came from. Being able to have that model to help and to ensure that they succeed in life far after they leave Provo, Utah, is my goal.
Coach, I think it's evident that the gratitude for your contribution is felt throughout the Pacific, myself included, who, if it weren't for you, who stuck with me till I graduated beyond my years of eligibility, I would not have graduated. So we thank you. We appreciate all of you being here with us during this time. Coach, thank you very much. Please stick around. Still to come on the program, we're going to transition from the Lavelle Edwards era to the Bronco Mendenhall era as Fahutahi, Fui Vakapuna, and Aaron Francisco join us. This is BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline on BYU TV.
The way I coach, I'm not the most kind of outgoing and fun-loving and smiling all the time, and so it's great balance to have these kind of guys.
I learned a whole lot of patience being here at BYU.
Coach, he just tore it up.
I thought he was on like a bodybuilding mission or something.
Exactly. All right, we're going to turn our attention now to some players from the last couple of decades, including, of course, the Bronco Mendenhall era. So Coach Bronco Mendenhall joins us. That's Fui Vakapuna over there. Aaron Francisco joins us. Now Fahu Tahi right next to Coach Mendenhall here. And Coach, let's start with you. This is our first opportunity to talk to you about the Polynesian pipeline for you, because you're recruited by BYU. You're familiar with some of the players of your era. And then what was it like as far as, you know, your affinity for the Polynesian culture? Where did that come from?
Man, starting kind of in reverse order, most of my history with Polynesia in general was rooted in New Zealand. My dad served his mission in New Zealand, speaks fluent Maori still, served his mission as mission president there. And so I just heard stories all growing up, and my grandfather led the labor mission program for the church. And so young people from Samoa and Tonga and Fiji, all over the place, was part of what he was instrumental in having church buildings built all through the South Pacific. Well, then David O. McKay was the prophet and president of the church at the time, and then this idea came between kind of President McKay and my grandfather of the Polynesian Cultural Center, to where young people could get their education, learn more about their culture, share more with others, and then go back and contribute in their communities. And so I heard all those stories from the time I was a little kid, but I was more intrigued by, man, just how, and watching my brother Matt play at BYU, Makele Iramia, I remember watching Vaisa Kahima, I remember all these guys, and just saying, man, what great players they were. And so I always associated the two kind of together, BYU with the Polynesian players. And currently, as BYU's coach, there's one team in the country that has more Polynesian players, and that's Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And we're currently second. And so it just seems like it's an essential or kind of the backbone of the program.
You know, BYU really did kind of lay the groundwork as far as recruiting Polynesian players outside of Hawaii. But Aaron, you're from Kahuku High School. As you were getting recruited by BYU, did that have anything to do with it, the fact that there was a tradition, a pipeline, so to speak, between Kahuku and BYU?
Yes, it most definitely did. There was a lot of players that came out of Kahuku that went to BYU in the past. Up until my point, when I was coming out, I think it was kind of slowing down. So you know, it was really a good opportunity for me to go there. I had some family there. My two sisters were attending school there. My grandma lived right down the road, so it was a great opportunity for me to, you know, just continue the tradition of Polynesian players coming from Kahuku and out of Hawaii in general to come and play for a team like BYU.
So I inherited these three. So I wasn't, which was an awesome thing. I would have still recruited them, but mm-hmm. I wasn't stuck with them, so to speak. But I inherited them and. So when I came in as the defensive coordinator, Aaron and I got to know each other really well, and man, I just tried to destroy him to get a defensive culture reestablished. And man, Aaron, I just heard him say more than probably he said in his whole career at BYU. he wouldn't say anything, but just competed like fiercely. And again, would kind of give a nod here or there, but other than that, he wouldn't speak, but he just kept knocking guys down, and I kind of just fell in love with the guy because his work ethic was so hard. The other two, you couldn't get them to be quiet, and that's still is kind of the case, and there's always some kind of mischief they were up to, which is, as the head coach was, yeah, I don't have any gray hairs, but on the inside, there's probably some ulcers, but these two are like the opposite personality of Aaron.
Yeah. So you didn't have an opportunity to recruit these guys, but Fui, let me ask you this. The recruiting of a Polynesian player, is it different in your mind than the recruiting of just any other average player that's out there?
I think so, just because I think with the recruiting here at BYU, the Polynesians, I think they see the tradition. And they see the religion comes with a part of it, but it's the culture, the tradition. They want to, like, for instance, when I got recruited, I see the connection I had was Steve Kafusi, we were next door neighbors, and I'm like, oh man, Steve went there, and then Jason and them went up there to Utah, mm-hmm. and Sion and them, I was like, shoot, I'll be different. I'll just go down to BYU. You know? Let me see if I could be a rebel if this sounds okay. But it was
so,
it was
so a rebel at BYU. You can see how well that works. Yeah, that's why Fui's Fui.
Fahu, same thing for you. You know, as you went through the recruiting process, coming out of Granger High School, you're trying to decide, okay, where am I going to go? Well, what was the decision like for you?
I grew up a BYU fan. And, you know, being a kid in the 80s, I got to watch you guys play. And, you know, my dad was a big football fan, so I got to, you know, him being a fan, obviously Polynesian and being a fan of football, we watched BYU football, we cheered on, you know, you guys, Vice Ikahema, and all the guys from the past. And so that was a huge thing for me, and that was, you know, kind of, you know, in me already, you know, growing up, and then having going through the recruiting process in high school, and then getting an offer from BYU was huge, and from other schools. But I think that was probably the biggest thing. Like Fui said, it was just easy. It wasn't a hard decision. I mean, culture, religion, family, everything just felt right. And I definitely wanted to be close to my family at home, and being here at BYU felt like my family here. And so, I mean, even though I was just 30 minutes away from home, but there were times where I was homesick, but, you know, being here with my football family, my Polynesian football players or my teammates, you know, the coaches, they made the transition so much easier for me.
You know, Coach, when you walk into your office, you see a lot of, you know, antiquities, things from the Maori culture. And I think for some coaches, they might have to go out of their way to try to make the Polynesian players feel comfortable. But as you mentioned, because of your upbringing, your grandfather, your father, it's part of your culture. And it makes it easier to, you know, I don't know if you're trying to assimilate it. It's already there.
It's something I care a lot about. But my personality, and Aaron especially can tell, I'm the way I coach, I'm not the most kind of outgoing and fun-loving and smiling all the time. And so it's great balance to have these kind of guys. But my approach is different. And so sometimes my players don't understand actually how much I care about them. And I kind of try to demonstrate that through how hard I work them, but they don't see that as caring for them. They see that more as punishment. And I can see why. But I do, and sincerely I do, and it's part of who I am. And I just want the very best for them in their lives. And these guys all get a chance to play in the NFL, which is so cool, and I'm so proud of them for doing that. But I also want them to be, man, just great husbands and fathers, and then to have good lives too. And I try to express that as well. Sometimes received well, mm-hmm. Sometimes received well later in life, sometimes just laughed at, you know, but it's... I care a lot about him.
I want to talk about something real quick. When you came back from your mission, Coach, he just tore it up.
I thought he was on like a bodybuilding mission or something. I was wondering if he was on a mission for the church or for some Coach. Fitness. Yeah, I don't know exactly what he's doing out there. Or if his scriptures weigh 200 pounds each and how he did it.
Coach Jim.
What was going on with you, though? You came back and you were ready to go. I mean, yeah. People were very surprised. I don't know whether or not you were surprised, Coach, maybe you a little bit, but you came back with some ambition.
On my mission, they had a workout. They had a time set for workouts. So me and my companion would just be going working out like 6 o'clock in the morning before we went proselyting, before we went studying. So we just go work out and then come back and do our study and then go proselyte. So I was very ambitious. I wanted to come back strong because of that Utah game, that 0-3 game. Mm. And I really wanted to come back and like prove, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start from that Utah moment when we lost. But I was happy by the end of that year.
The legend will live on. Fui's return from his mission. Real quickly, guys, before we let you go, in the NFL now, maybe one thing that you took, we'll start over here with you, Fahu.
I think everybody that knows me that came through BYU knows that I was a little too laid back sometimes, you know. But Coach Mendenhall, my senior year, I think was my best year, obviously. And for me, it was a breakout year. And, you know, he brought the best out of me as a player and as a person. And I learned a lot of things from him on and off the field and how to be a man, you know, grow up. And so I carry a lot of those things with me in the NFL. And had I not worked that hard my senior year, that off season, I don't think I'd be where I am right now.
Aaron?
I'd have to say that he made me so much more mentally tough. He just just showed me how much more of a better player I could be mentally. And anyone, any of these guys to tell you playing in the NFL, you need to be mentally strong. And I think he took me from like being down here to up here mentally. So, you know, that was one of the things that I really took, and, you know, and I still have with me, and I'll probably have for the rest of my life because of him.
Foy.
I think learning the game inside and out, especially on the defensive side, I remember he tell me, you know, you got to learn the defense so you know where you're going to be for a pass or a run, just to know the fronts. Those kind of things he instilled in me, especially a whole lot of patience. I learned a whole lot of patience being here at BYU and knowing when it was your time to go on the field and prove yourself day in and day out.
You know, it would be great from my perspective. So, man, we have so many younger guys now that are coming up, Polynesian guys that I would love to have these guys around all the time just so I could leave the room and they could just talk to them. That would make my job a lot easier. So hopefully, no matter how long I coach here, that then the next coach would continue to embrace this idea because it really is essential to our program.
Well, we'll have to play this tape for those guys in the locker room.
Good.
All right, Foui, Aaron, and Fahu, thanks for joining us. Still to come, Vic Soto, Manasseh Tonga, and Ray Fenga. They will weigh in on the topic of BYU players and the Polynesian Pipeline. You're watching BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline on BYU TV.
We hadn't even really talked that long, and he looked at me and said, so I want to commit right now.
It was the easy choice for me to come here.
You had no choice.
Welcome back, BYU Football, a Polynesian Pipeline, joined again by Coach Bronco Mendenhall over here, Manasseh Tonga, former running back for BYU, now in the NFL, Ray Fenga, offensive lineman, now in the NFL as well, and Vic Soto, I'm not sure what Vic was, a former the tight end.
He was a tight end.
Played just about every position at BYU, and now in the NFL as well, and guys, we appreciate you being with us, and I want to start with Vic, Coach, because this was one, if not the first recruit for you, and talk to us about what it was like to bring Vic to the program and maybe just how significant that was for you.
That's a good question if it was significant or not. Vic thinks it is. No. Vic was my first recruit, my first signee of any nature as the coach at BYU. And so I had met Vic's father and a police officer down in California and was really impressed with Vic's upbringing. And so Vic was really smart, and he applies it mostly in kind of his wit and his jokes, et cetera. But there is a serious side underneath there and a substantive side. And so visiting with Vic in his home, I remember him looking at me after we hadn't even really talked that long. And he looked at me and said, so I want to commit right now. And so not knowing as the head coach even how to like take a commitment, I don't even remember what I said, but it was like, oh, this is going to be easy to recruit to BYU. Vic then wanted his cousin to be able to come, and so then I learned really soon how quick family and how important that is, especially in relation to the Polynesian culture.
You know, Vic, for you, you know, you said to Coach Mendenhall, I want to commit right now. What was it about BYU, and did the fact that BYU had a Polynesian pipeline or a history of Polynesian players come into play in your decision to make BYU your destination?
It did, actually. My uncle played here in 71, 72, and every time I saw him, he'd sing the fight song. And so BYU was kind of the bottom of my list when I started getting recruited because I wanted to stay in California, somewhere more west. But then, you know, slowly after many, many verses of the fight song, and then another thing that helped out was Coach Mendenhall, when Coach Mendenhall and Coach Kafusi came, they took their shoes off. And you know, it might seem small to another family, but in a Polynesian family, you know, it's all about respect, respecting your elders, respecting, you know, when you go to another place, and that was huge. And so that and his intimidating look made me want to come to BYU.
You know, I want to ask you, Manasseh, about coming to BYU and your journey, your trip to BYU, you know, how it took place. But BYU has a long history of running backs that have been Polynesians. For you, did that come into play when you were making the decision, okay, I want to go play, I want to stay a running back, and BYU is a place where I can look down a list of guys that have been successful at that position?
Growing up, I sort of followed BYU, but I had no intention on coming here, mostly because of the recruit. I didn't get heavily recruited out of BYU, and so I had signed with Utah. And to make a long story short, when I came home from my mission, Bronco Mendenhall and the rest of the coaching staff, you know, they extended their offer to me, and I took it. And it wasn't until I kind of came on campus and just got familiar with the players, and you know, a lot of former players always come back, and so that's when I started to kind of understand how deep the tradition is here.
Ray, for you, you know, you're a guy that you know, from this area, and as you grew up, did you grow up a BYU fan?
Growing up, my dad was the biggest BYU fan, so I think he knew where I was going to go. So, plus, I'm from Salt Lake, so I wanted to stay in state, close to home, where my family could come and watch and stuff. So, my number one choice was BYU all the way, so it was an easy choice for me to come here.
Yeah, he had no choice.
You said he wasn't recruited by anybody else. That's not nice, man.
The moment he was born, he was going to BYU.
Let me ask you again, Manasseh, because we talk about the tradition of BYU running backs, and I think a lot of things happened with BYU running backs. Fui Vakapuna was just on the set along with Fahu Tahi. And, you know, guys, there are plenty of guys that can run the ball, right? But the blocking scheme here at BYU is very difficult, and it's hard to learn that just from the coaching staff. And I'm sure that you were probably schooled by somebody, and then it became your responsibility to school the next guy. What was that experience like?
To get down to it, it's just the mentality. And that was something I learned from Fahu. You know, he was just tough. He didn't back down from anybody. You know, he got to the point where he would even fight guys. You know, it was just a nasty mentality that he kind of showed me, you know, and I sort of started to develop that mentality. And, you know, and I'm sure Fahu learned it from, Fahu was telling me how he would watch guys like Maw, who was here before me. Mm-hmm. I never had a chance to see him. I've seen a couple film on him, but you know, it's just always something that you want to pass down to the next guy in line, you know? And that's something Fahu did a really good job of.
When I came to BYU as a Polynesian player, Robert and I was in charge of mentoring me along with, you know, a couple of other guys that were from Hawaii, Polynesian guys. And I would assume that there's that same responsibility, or at least you probably assume that responsibility as you get older. You know, early on, and we talked about on the field, but also off the field. Vic, isn't there something that, you know, feel like a responsibility to the younger Polynesian player that is out there to set the right example for them?
As you grow older and you start your families and move on from BYU, you want to set a good example and show kids, you know, in California where I'm from, in Hawaii, Samoa, Tonga, that, you know, this is the place that you should be because of the way it's built. It's built for us to be successful. And with these guys up here, I think it's obvious that, and, you know, what Coach Mendenhall has done is made a place for us to thrive.
You know, we talked about this with the other guys on this the panel previous to you, and that is the things that you took from BYU, from Coach Mendenhall, onto your NFL careers, because now all three of you, you know, are having success in the NFL. We'll start with you, Ray. You know, what is it about BYU and that experience here that you take with you to the next level?
For me, all the BYU guys are close, no matter if you played from 10 years ago, and we're just all close, just like a family. And the one thing I took from Bronco was just working hard on and off the field. From day one, he's pushed me to be the player I am today, so I give him that credit. Even to this day, he is.
Even till about five minutes ago. When I see you.
I think the biggest thing, Aaron had touched on it earlier, was just the mentality. And so, that was the biggest thing I took out.
Yeah, it transfers to the league and life, I would say. Vic, for you?
Yeah, for me, it was not feeling entitled. You know, when you go to BYU, you always get these kind of stigmas and about being some being slow or weak, or just because we're BYU and playing teams that have maybe more media coverage in the past and have their trophy winners and whatnot. But once you put the helmet on and strap the pads on, it's an even playing field.
Coach, as we wrap this up, let me ask you the question for you in the recruiting process, coaching process. I assume there are plenty of mentors that you've had over the years, including Lavelle Edwards, who kind of set the standard as far as recruiting Polynesian players. Maybe you can speak to that as we close.
I'm still learning a lot as a coach, but I've learned probably as much from these guys as they've learned from me, if not more. Each with unique personalities. So Manasseh, with a presence as soon as he was on the field, I think everyone around him just felt they were going to be better. And Ray, while the practice habits weren't necessarily our strong point, at least in terms of my standards, when the guy was on the field, you couldn't get him off the field, and his guy couldn't beat him, wouldn't beat him, and it would be the same every game his entire career. Similar with Vic, through four position changes. What I have learned is that all of these guys have a competitive nature, a will to win, and they care about each other. And when I try to present that in recruiting, these are the guys that I talk about. And I don't expect anyone to be perfect. And sometimes at BYU, that's the perception, is you have to be this. You have to be your own version of that. Mm-hmm. And I try as hard as I can to let them know that faith can accompany football, it can accompany physical play, it can accompany family, it can accompany tradition, and you can get all that at BYU. And that's what I try to share with them.
Guys, thank you very much. Coach, appreciate you being with us. And we appreciate you tuning in. Our thanks to all of our guests for today's program, joining us on this BYU Sports Special for an entertaining hour of television. For our coordinating producer, Michael Miner, producer, Jerem Jordan, our director, Russ Merrill, and our entire crew, I'm Willamette Harrington. Thanks for watching BYU TV, the home of the Cougars.